on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Tuesday, June 18th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Well, it is an overcast day. It's still hot as can be outside. It is summer at its best right now in the state of Alabama. But man, tons to talk about on the show today. We are 74 days away from the start of Auburn football. Can you believe it? I mean, it blows my mind that we're already over the halfway point of June. We are surging towards the 4th of July. And before you know it, SEC Media Days is going to be here. Then you'll have Big Cat Weekend at the end of July, then you'll have fall practice starting, and then just like that, the opening weekend of college football will be here. I guess week zero, and then the true opening week of college football will be here. And so it's going to fly by. Just be ready for that. I mean, it's going to be here very quickly. And for me personally, it is a very busy time. Got things coming up starting next weekend. And then, yeah, the 4th of July. And then we will be in Dallas for SEC Media Day. So very excited for that. ESPN 106.7 going to be there. All three shows, right? I know Doug has talked about that quite a bit. I know he's on vacation right now. And so I appreciate you all tuning in, coming off our ESPN programming. But Doug has talked about this a little bit. We will be in Dallas for SEC Media Days. He's going to be there, the Max Roundtable from 11 to 2. I'm going to be there from 2 to 4 for On the Line, and Dan Peck will be there for the drive. Bill Cameron will be back here. Dan will be in Dallas. Uncle T-Bone will be back here as well for a couple of those days in the studio. So really excited to be in Dallas. I've actually never been to Dallas. I've been to Texas a couple of times when I was a kid. I had family growing up there and in Oklahoma, actually. But I've never been to Dallas, so very excited for that. That'll be coming up in July. It's that third week. I'm looking at the dates right now. The 15th through the 18th, all right? So that is when we will be in Dallas, Texas for SEC Media Day. 7 straight hours, man. Nobody else does that there. I promise. We are the only ones that do 7 straight hours. The SEC Network doesn't even do 7 straight hours. Come on. So I'm excited for that coming up in just a few weeks. But tons to get to on the show today. I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the number that you can call in to be a part of the show. You can also shoot me a text, 334-784-1067. Your thoughts, comments, what you want, a stat or anything that you have for me that you think I need to see, be sure you can text me, 334-784-1067. Coming up in hour number 2, excited to get Double D back on the air. Daryl Dapperich will be with us. Not as long as he normally is, okay? He's normally with us from about 315 to 345. He's got some obligations this afternoon. But we're going to try and get to him a little bit earlier today at 3, probably around 3:10 or so. And then we'll get him off at the bottom of the hour there at 3:30. So that will be coming up in hour number 2. So excited to see what he's got to say about what was a big recruiting weekend this past weekend for Auburn football and a lot of other things. So that'll be in the second hour. But where I want to start today is what happened over at Auburn today. There were 3 new coaches introduced to Auburn Athletics today. The women's tennis coach and then the new co-head softball coaches. Yes, it was an exciting time. I was over there this morning at the football facility inside the Performance Center where the big media room is. And I started at 10 a.m. with the new women's tennis coach who was introduced. And, man, let me tell you, this guy was fired up. I mean, he was excited to be here. You can tell that he is going to be successful here. And, man, let me say this, too. That room was packed. There were hundreds of people there this morning. It was really cool to see. Auburn put on a good presentation, and athletic director John Cohen was there. He had some words to say, and there was, between the tennis coach being introduced and then the Malvos being introduced for Auburn softball, Everybody was there. Like I said, John Cohen was there. Bruce Pearl made it there. Butch Thompson was there. It was really cool to see. And so that was neat. That was really neat to see. And while I didn't get a chance to talk with the new tennis coach, I did have a chance to talk with the Malvos, the new softball coaches for Auburn. And they are a really unique group of people, and I say that in the best way possible. I mean that in the best way possible. Like, they are really, really excited to be here. As you know, right, Auburn softball hired co-head coaches. And on top of that, side note, coming up on Friday, we're going to have Britt Bowen join us, who is the voice of Auburn softball over on the Auburn Sports Network. He'll join us on Friday to talk about Auburn softball and the movements in Auburn women's basketball, too. So I look forward to that on Friday afternoon. But they were introduced today as co-head coaches, Chris and Kate Malvo. And you know, when this news came out that Auburn was hiring, because there are a lot of you were asking me and asking a lot of us in this business, hey, where's Auburn going with this? What's Auburn going to do? Who is Auburn hiring as their next softball coach? And there were names that I thought of that we talked about on here and that, you know, I texted some of you and you know, on Twitter and things like that. And this is not where I thought it was going to go. This is not who I thought it was going to be. And I was familiar with Chris and Kate Malvo, but I didn't know a whole lot about them, right? They've been assistant coaches at Tennessee for a little bit. Chris is one of the, they continue to say that he's one of the best offensive minds in college softball. And if you know anything about Auburn softball this year, they need all the offensive help that they can get. And then Kate is the defensive specialist. She is the analytics specialist. She does a lot of that type of stuff. And so, again, when the news came out that Auburn was hiring co-head coaches, everybody kind of scratched their head a little bit, right? Everybody was like, that's interesting, because that's not a popular move, right? That's not something that typically happens. And I can't tell you the last time that I saw it. I don't know. And it wasn't from a place of, oh, that's not good. Ooh, that's bad. Ooh, why did they do that? That's not for me anyway. I didn't say it in that regard. I said, that's interesting. Again, I've never seen that. And I've seen it a long time ago, right? It's very rare. And so a lot of people, I think, with Auburn softball are in the, I guess they're in the boat of, well, let's see how it goes. This will be interesting. And I heard them speak this morning. Chris and Kate both had their individual opening statements, and then they also sat up there together and took questions from us in the media, and I was able to ask them a couple of questions as well as some of the other folks in the media. And they talked about consistency. They talked about high energy, and they talked about demanding championships and demanding nothing but the best. And John Cohen, the athletic director for Auburn, described Kate as having a little Bruce Pearl in her. And of course, everybody laughed. And when she started talking and she started to describe what the vision is for Auburn softball between these two, you could see it. You could hear it. You could feel it, that Kate Malvo was fired up to be a co-head coach here at Auburn. And her husband, Chris, was the same way. He was fired up in his own right. I think he's a little bit more reserved in the media, I guess, arena, right? In a place like today. But you could tell that he knows what he's doing, that he's been around a long time, and he's going to demand the best out of these Auburn players. Now, they've talked about how they've already been, you know, recruiting and out on the trail and doing things like that to try to get this roster where it needs to be, just as any brand new head coach will do. But, man, you got to give them credits. You have to give them a ton of credit for being not just head coach or co-head coaches. They're a husband and wife. They're a husband and wife that have two young kids that were there today and behaved great, actually. And they are together all the time. And man, for all of you that are listening right now, man or woman, right, husband or wife, and whichever one you have on the opposite side, right, the one that lays next to you at night, I ask you this question. Would you be able to do that? Could you work side by side at the top of your profession with your significant other? How many of you just said, heck no, or maybe even something worse than that? Like, I want you to think about that for a second. And it's not because you don't love them, right? It's not because you don't think you wouldn't get along. But this is a really stressful job. I mean, you're a head coach in college of an SEC softball program. And I was able to ask them today about, you know, taking over an SEC program in a new-look SEC with Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, just two of the better programs in the country. Oklahoma, the best program in the country for the last 4 years plus. And they're coming from the SEC. They're coming from Tennessee, so they know. They know what they're doing. But, look, I'm not even married, and I know that this would be tough for me to do. But it's funny because, and it's really intriguing to me, because they use that to their advantage. They built off that. They push into that. They embrace that. And that's strong. That's really, really strong. And Kate actually had a really good quote today, and this isn't it word for word, but when talking about, I think somebody, it may have been Bill Cameron, who asked him about, you know, who calls the shots, right? In a tense situation, I think it was Bill. He said, you know, in a tough situation in the middle of the game, like when there's a decision to be made, who makes that call? Which is a really good question. It's a great question because you have co-head coaches, but there are big time decisions that have to be made in a softball game in college, in any game really, but who makes that call? And they both said, either one of us. Like, she did admit that Chris would probably be the voice more than she would, but she was very quick to defend herself and say, but if I have to, I will. I won't back down. But her whole stance and their whole stance is whatever his strengths are, overcome my weaknesses. And whatever my strengths are, overcome his weaknesses. And she said, look, every head coach has flaws. Every head coach has flaws, which is true. She said, but with co-head coaches and us being so different, him offensively minded and her being defensively, strategically, numbers minded, she said, there are no flaws because all of that's covered up and we work together and we believe that we can be successful. That's strong, man. That's really, really strong. And so I personally was very, very impressed by their opening statements and the press conference and answering questions and for her to go out and say, yeah, there are no flaws here. We cover that up and we work together. That was cool. But the quote that I wanted to get to was she said, you know, people always ask us and people always wonder why it won't work. Why is this not going to work? Why can co-head coaches not work? But she said, we like to look at it as, let me give you the reasons why it will. Let me tell you why this is going to work. And she listed off five or six things. And that was impressive to me. It really resonated with me a little bit. So I'm impressed, man. I got to, like I said, I got to talk to him after the presser, both Chris and Kate Malvo, co-head coaches for Auburn Softball. Looking forward to hopefully getting them on the air soon, talking with them and getting, you know, getting their perspective on everything. Both of them very excited to be at Auburn. Same thing on the women's tennis side. And so that was a good thing today, man. That was a good part of it. And look, I know we don't talk softball a ton on here, but we do when we can, and we do when there is news, and when it's right in a situation like this where Auburn softball is looking to get back to relevancy. They're looking to get back to being a top program, not just in the SEC, but in the country. This is a team that has made College World Series runs. But it's also a team that has gone through some really dark times. It's a program that has seen the lowest of lows. And it's time to find somebody or somebodies who are ready to pull Auburn out of that and become great again. And look, Mickey Dean was a really good coach. I mean, he made the postseason every year. But they need something else. And I hope that it is the Malvos. I really do. And I was impressed with hearing them talk today. I was. And so glad that that happened. That was really cool. Also, before we get to break, while I was over there today, it had been a couple of weeks since I'd been on that side of town. Typically, I'm over there a lot during the season and hasn't been a ton going on over there recently. And you know how it is. It's pretty crazy over there by the athletic complex. But I did drive by Plainsman Park today and saw an update. I got an update on the renovations that they're doing at Plainsman Park. And man, they're moving right along. Let me tell you what, they're moving right along that first base line where they're adding all of those. I mean, they're adding a whole new part of the ballpark, which is really cool, right? You remember the three-step plans that they're doing, and this time it's a big piece of the stadium that's going to be down the first base line with the walkways and the stores and the restaurant, or, you know, I guess the concessions or whatever, all that type of stuff. So really, really excited to see that. And they're, like I said, they are moving right along. There's no hiding it anymore. It has taken up the space now. And so I'm excited for that. But I hadn't seen it in a couple weeks, and I was like, wow, look at that. You just kind of look up and there it is. And so I'm excited for that as well. So big day in Auburn. New coach is introduced. And an update on Plainsman Park as well. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. You can also text me, 334-784-1067. A Tuesday edition of On the Line will continue after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
All right, we're just underway here in hour number one on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Got a text during the break asking how many recruits have the new softball coaches signed since taking over the job? Says, I can't think of any. They've been here for going on 2 weeks. Yes, that is, as far as I know, that's the situation. The Malvos were announced, I guess the news broke, if you will, a little less than 2 weeks ago, and then were formally introduced today. As far as I know, and if I've missed something, please correct me, call me, text me, tweet at me, call me an idiot, whatever. I don't think they've brought in anything, but they did talk about today that they've been looking through the portal and wanting to add quite a bit of talent. They have brought in a new pitching coach, so they are excited about that. And again, I told you about, and if you watch Auburn softball this year, you know that they need some bats, man. They need some hitting. They need some help on the offensive side, which is Coach Malvo, that is his expertise. They call him the best offensive mind in college softball. So they talked a little bit about recruiting today. They had a quote of recruits kind of know who you are. Malvo goes on to say, the question you have is if they will be interested in what you are at a different school. I have seen nothing but positive. If you look at 2 or 3 hours from Auburn, there's a lot of talent here. A lot of people want Auburn to be successful. And he said, both of them went on to say the reception of Auburn and from the recruits that have been awesome is what Chris Malvo has said. They've been the coaches officially for, I think, 12 days, I think is the number on that. But overall, they said that they're getting there. And, you know, think about it this way. You're in Tennessee. The softball season just ends. All of a sudden, you go and you're a part of this coaching search. You are a part of, you know, a hiring process. You get hired, and then you've got to pick up and go, right? I mean, there's no time wasted anymore in taking a new job. You have to pick up your life and you got to go. Now, they're moving from Tennessee to Auburn, which is not a crazy move, but it's still a hike. And you have to move your entire life. And so that is what I feel like their first few days have been, the first week and a half, pushing 2 weeks. But my guess is that you will start to see some news on the recruiting trail and transfer portal and things like that in the softball world for Auburn once the coaches get in there. Now that the press conference is in, now that it's like officially official, all right, we're here, we're wearing the orange and blue, we're ready to go. Now I feel like is when they're going to hit it. And hit it hard. And so, again, if anything pops or if anything has popped already and I haven't seen it, apologize. But I think that's where it stands right now. Now that kind of the first wave of getting this thing rolling is through, I think you're going to start seeing some news on the softball side of things. So good question. Appreciate you. Appreciate you texting us. You can text us as well, 334-784-1067. You know I had to talk about it today. You know I had to bring it up. All right, we got a few minutes before the bottom of the hour break. Then we're going to talk some Auburn football coming up off the recruiting weekend. Can I get a round of applause? Can somebody just congratulate me on the Boston Celtics winning the NBA Finals last night? I know, look, nobody else is in here. It's just me and you, so I got to clap for myself, which is a little sad, but that's okay. That's okay. I'll do it. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Because the Boston Celtics took care of business last night, and they took down Dallas 106-88. It was a beatdown. It was over after the first quarter. Boston was up by 10. They extended that lead. They expanded on it even more. And after that, it was done. And for the 18th time in franchise history, the Boston Celtics are NBA champions. And this time it's in 2024. Man. Look, it's no secret that I tell you my fandoms, I tell you my teams, I tell you that. And the Boston Celtics winning, it's first time in a long time, right? For I was young when they won it the last time. And this team is going to go down as one of the best in the Celtics history. I mean, their record will show it. Their numbers will show it. They were just better than everybody else. 64-18 in a season as NBA champions is surreal. Like, that is legit. And they were just the best team. I mean, you could see it all year long. And, you know, as the final buzzer sounded last night, and I was, you know, very ecstatic and happy that the Celtics won and everything like that, watching Jason Tatum get his first title, watching Jaylen Brown win finals MVP. It was one of those things where you're excited about the win, but it was the expectation. Like, I expected the Celtics to win it, and it's not fair to expect that in sports because anything can happen. That's what makes sports so special. That's what makes you and I do what we do and watch it and listen and be a part of it and make it our lives, right? But if the Celtics, for whatever reason, didn't win it, and I'm talking about the entire season, not just in the finals in that series, I'm talking since the opening game. If the Celtics didn't win the title, it would have been a disappointing year. But then you throw in the playoffs where they ran through the East. I don't care that there were injuries. They ran through it. And then they beat the so-called best team from the West. They did what they were supposed to do. But if they didn't win, it would have been very disappointing to me and to every fan of Boston, and they would have gotten dragged by everybody in the media. Because for whatever reason, this particular Celtics team was hated by so many. Look, it's no secret that Boston is not people's favorite sports town in America. I know that. But for those of you that do watch the NBA here, what is it about that Celtics team that you didn't like? What was the problem with them? Was it just because they were better than your team? Was it because they were just better than everybody else? I mean, that's typically how it goes. Everybody hates the good ones, right? If they're great, everybody hates them because they're just too good. I don't know, man. I had a blast last night, though. It was awesome. Celtics win their 18th title in franchise history. They're already the betting favorites to do it again next year. How about that, huh? 106-88, Celtics win in five. They take down Dallas at home inside of TD Garden there in Boston. Awesome, awesome, awesome. 30 minutes into hour number one, we're talking Auburn football, some recruiting updates from the biggest one from the weekend. We'll talk about that coming up next on the line.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goetz with you on ESPN 106.7. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. If you don't want to talk, just want to get your information out there, shoot me a text, 334-784-1090. 6-7 in the On the Line text box. Reminder that we're 74 days away from Auburn football kicking off the 2024 season. And while we are excited for that, and while we are waiting impatiently for that, it's nice that we have Auburn football recruiting things to talk about here in the middle to late June. And it's no secret that this past weekend was one of the biggest for Auburn in terms of the players that were here and you got a commitment out of Eric Winters, right, down in Enterprise. And you also had guys shut down the recruitments, guys that were committed. That really is a win in itself. I mean, that's almost like getting another recruit. I mean, it's almost like getting another commitment, because as we talk about, it seems like every day until they're signed and until I see them on the field or at least on the sideline with a helmet on or pads, like, you can't be confident in a recruit coming here. And so to have a couple of those guys shut down their commitment, or shut down their recruitment, I should say, and lock it down, coming to Auburn, no doubt about it, that's a big deal. But there was one guy on campus this weekend that everybody was interested in. Everybody was intrigued by. Everybody wanted to know how the visit went. And, of course, that is the five-star quarterback, Julian Lewis, the USC commit, long-time USC commit, who has been to Auburn quite a bit of times and has been around the block, seeing other schools, seeing other programs, checking it out, right? Checking out Indiana, checking out Colorado, Auburn, right? He doesn't care. He'll go anywhere at this point in terms of his visits. But he spoke to 247 and spoke to Tom Loy at 247 about his visit at Auburn. This came out just a few hours ago. Who, again, I still think he's the best quarterback in the country. I do. And that's not a hot take by any means. But he's just that good. 6'1", 185 pounds. Yes, I think he is a little on the smaller side, but I think he's so athletic that it doesn't matter. I think the comparison I've made time and time again is Kyler Murray, right? That's the comparison that I've made. He's just that talented. He's got the arm. He's got the legs. He's got the football IQ to just be great. And he took his official visit to Auburn this weekend and gave us a couple of quotes. All right, again, this is from 247. You can go check this out. Tom Loy wrote this at 247sports.com. On the visit, all right, here's the quote about the visit itself. Lewis says, quote, "It was a good visit. I had a lot of time to spend with the coaches and players. Riding scooters around Auburn was fun. I think I saw the whole town," end quote. Yeah, that's been a pretty popular thing in Auburn the last, I mean, that was a thing when I was in college. Those scooters became popular, and it's a heck of a lot quicker than walking, I'll tell you that. And that's good, though. That's good that he was able to do that, hang out with. He said he got to spend a lot of time with coaches and players. He said he spent some time with current players, Malcolm Simmons, Terrence Love, and a lot of other guys. He goes on to say, "I met with all the receivers, and they all love it here so far, or love it there so far." And that's a big deal. That's where I want to start right here. That's a really big deal for him to talk to all the receivers that are here, all of them. Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, those types of guys. Malcolm was one of the guys he hung out with, apparently. And for him to build that relationship with the guys that are here right now that you hope will be here next year, if he decides to come here, speaking on Julian Lewis, you want them to have that relationship as much as possible. And it's cool because you are now seeing a world more than ever before where current players or current commits turn into active recruiters. You can't tell me that Cam Coleman and Bryce Kane aren't licking their chops, right? Chomping and salivating at the idea of Julian Lewis throwing them a football next season. Not this season, next season. When those are seasoned guys, right? When those receivers have gotten a year under their belt in college football. You can't tell me they're not excited about the opportunity for the top quarterback in the class to walk in and elevate the offense. Because, look, as good as the quarterback room is now, or you may not think it is, that's up to you. If you had Julian Lewis walk in today, he would start in August. That's a fact. Julian Lewis would start in August, right now, because he's that much better than the guys in the room. He's just more talented. He's not more seasoned. He's not more experienced. But he's just that good. And so, I don't know what the quarterback situation looks like a year from now. Heck, we're still worried about the quarterback situation this year. We still got people worried about the fact that Auburn didn't get a portal quarterback or didn't go and get anybody, which is a fair, I guess, scare. That's a safe worry. That's a fair worry. How about that? But this time next year, I mean, who knows? You could have all sorts of changes in that quarterback room. And so where I'm getting at is the receivers right now, the fact that they're talking with him, the fact he's been here a few times, and he met with all of them on his official visit is a good thing. That's a really good thing because they can have those conversations of, hey, man, look what we can be together. Look at what we could be with this group, with this offense, with this potential, right? That's what they have to be talking about. And to kind of get ahead of ourselves here a little bit, admittedly, if Julian Lewis were to come to Auburn, then that's a step that you already have taken. That's a part of the process that's already behind you, getting to know these guys, right? Building that relationship off the field. Those things that a lot of people have to do when you get to campus together, those things are going to already be done. And so then, again, this is talking hypothetically, if Julian Lewis were to pick Auburn and him be a quarterback and probably be the quarterback for 2025, right? Then when Julian Lewis were to get to Auburn, it would strictly be football. It would be business. They would walk in together and just start throwing the ball. They would start working on timing. They'd start working on routes. They'd start working on communication rather than building a relationship and playing video games and getting to know one another and with your likes and your dislikes and where you like to eat. All that's going to already be done. It'll strictly be football. Those are the things you'll have to work on. All the other stuff will come natural, right? They'll hang out outside the practice. They'll go and get food together. They'll go and do whatever. But you'll already have that trust with one another. And I'm talking the receivers right now and what Julian Lewis could be for Auburn in 2025. You go on, and he has a quote about his visit and talking with Coach Hugh Freeze and the rest of the staff. He says, quote, Coach Freeze let me know what the opportunity is and said he wants to coach me. He knows what it takes to win in the SEC and that he's going to win. Coach Austin and Stone both let me know that they know they can develop and help me reach my goals. And so this is unique because you're getting an inside look at what Hugh Freeze is telling recruits. You're getting the inside track, a direct quote of what Hugh Freeze is telling everybody. All these big-time players, 3 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars, 2024, 2025, 2026, and beyond. He's telling them, I want to coach you. I want you here. I know what it takes to win, and I'm going to win. That's bold, man. That's really bold. But you have to be that way. You have to be that way, especially with a guy like Julian Lewis. Are you kidding me? Because if you're not, and it's just, oh man, we'd be honored to have you. You know, it's we haven't had a guy like you in forever. Like, you don't want to seem, I don't know, desperate. You don't want to seem like that. No, Freeze is saying, look, give me a chance. Give us a chance to coach you and let us show you what we can do. The possibilities are endless. And put yourself in, you know, I always try to put you in the situation of the people that we're talking about on this show. I think that's what we do really well. And put yourself in the shoes of Julian Lewis here. Look at what Hugh Freeze has done. Look at his history of quarterbacks. Man, he's turned some really average, bad quarterbacks into some dudes, okay? He's done it. He took a former Auburn quarterback that couldn't make it here, and he put him in the NFL. You're telling me that he couldn't do that with the best quarterback in the class of 2025? You're telling me that Hugh Freeze couldn't make Julian Lewis a Heisman candidate? He can. He absolutely can. With the guys that he's putting up front, with the recruiting that he's doing on the offensive line, and with the stacked receivers that he just brought in on top of what he's trying to do in 25 and beyond. If you are Julian Lewis, I go back to this phrase. It just makes sense. That's what Uncle T-Bone has talked about when he's with me on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. He said, why would you go to Southern California? Why would you go across the country when you could just move one state over? When you could go from Georgia to Alabama, where your family could come see you, where you could stay in this part of the country where the best talent in the country is, and you get to play and compete in the best conference in college football. It just makes sense. The offensive staff is telling them the same thing, right? They both said, we know that we can develop you and help you reach your goals. And for Julian Lewis, I haven't heard him say this, but I'm pretty sure that his goals are to play at the next level. At the next 2 levels, really, because he's technically still high schooler, so the next level would be college, and then the next level would be the NFL. It just makes sense to me. And, you know, I get on these, I don't want to call it a rant. I'm not Daryl Dapperidge here. Just kidding. I get on these little tangents, if you will, because I just start thinking about the possibilities. I start thinking about what this could become. And if I am an 18-year-old stud quarterback, those are the things that I personally, Jacob Goins, is thinking of. That's what is going through my head at that time. Now, I was never in that position, but if I were, that's kind of what I would think about. Is like, okay, which place is going to benefit me the most? Not just financially, because I promise, okay, listen carefully when I say this. Julian Lewis will get paid no matter where he goes. No matter where he goes. And that is not the concern here. This is not an NIL problem. This is not an NIL battle, okay? Because the teams that are legitimately in this, which I think it's down to two, it's USC and Auburn, either one of them are going to do whatever it takes. They are going to pay him to come and play. It really does come down to, where does he want to go? Where does he want to be? What guys does he want to be around? What coaches does he want to play for? What program, what system does he want to be in? And so Auburn is trying to convince him that it's going to be great. Auburn is trying to convince him and a heck of a lot of other players that it's going to change and be different, because you can't sell them on what the past is, because the past isn't all that great. Not recent history, anyway. You have to sell them on a future, which is still where Hugh Freeze and this staff are. They're still selling a future. It's like trying to sell a stock that just got created, right? Or not even that, you're selling a stock that has a horrible history. That's been so low that nobody's wanted to touch it. But you believe that it's going to rise. You believe that it's going to start climbing. And eventually, it's going to be worth 10 times what you paid for it. That's what Auburn's trying to do. That's what Hugh Freeze is trying to do right now. Think about how tough that is. To sell something that in recent history has not been good, that has not worked, that's been bad. And you're trying to sell that to the best players in the country compared to other programs. And I'm not just talking Julian Lewis here. I'm just talking in a grand scheme of things, right? I'm talking about the Georgias of the world. Heck, even the Alabamas of the world, the Ohio States, where they can walk in and say, yeah, look at that trophy case over there. Oh, yeah, sorry. Let me move my box of rings out of the way so we can have a conversation. That's what Auburn's having to go up against. But if it works, Auburn can be that team. Auburn can be that program. And it takes guys like Julian Lewis to do it. It takes guys like him to do it. It takes the Cam Colemans of the world. It takes the DeMarcus Riddicks of the world. It takes the Julian Lewises of the world to do that, to get there, to take that next step, to make the turn. And if you can get there, great things are ahead. And I'll leave you with this before we go to break, and we'll wrap it up to end the hour. If Julian Lewis commits, if he decides that Auburn is the place for him, you better watch out. Have you seen those viral videos where people set up millions of dominoes across a warehouse floor and they just push the one? What happens after that? You tell me. 334-321-1390. That's the number to call in. You can also shoot me a text, 334-784-1067. We'll wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Got a few more minutes. We'll get into hour number two. And then reminder, Daryl Dapperich is going to join us from Locked on Auburn. He will be with us a little bit earlier today than normal. He's normally with me 3:15 to 3:45. He'll join us around 3:10-ish. Okay, so he'll join us then. But he's got to get off at the bottom of the hour. So that's why we're just going to shift that a little bit forward in the second hour. So be sure you stay tuned for that. I'm sure we'll have a Dap rant or something going on where he gets fired up about something. But always fun talking with him. He's a great friend of mine, great personality on the air, and man, even a better person. So really excited to talk with Daryl coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. So be sure that you hang around for that. But been talking about Julian Lewis. As he had some comments about his trip to Auburn over the weekend and talked about the guys that he hung out with and that he's really, really excited about it and how he just really enjoyed his trip. And how the coaches are trying to sell him. And I told you there at the end of the break about the domino effect. And look, I know that's the go-to used one. You could call it that. You can call it a snowball, whatever you want to call it, okay? If Julian Lewis commits to Auburn and decides that he wants to come play for Hugh Freeze and this staff, I cannot tell you the earthquake effect that that is going to have on at least 10 or 15 other recruits. Almost immediately. Almost immediately. Because the things that I'm being told about the impact that Julian Lewis has, the pull that he has, okay, where if he decides that he wants to commit to Auburn, there are so many guys sitting and ready on go to do the same thing. And it's guys all over the field. Yes, a lot of them offensive, of course, but there's so many of them that want to have that chance. And there's so many players, right, big-name players that Auburn has made offers to, that Auburn is in on, that Auburn is waiting on them to commit right now. And As far as I'm concerned, if Julia Lewis goes, they almost all go. And when I mean go and do the right thing and come to Auburn. And it would be a flurry of recruits that we just haven't seen in a long, long time. It would be borderline overwhelming to try and get all of that covered and talk about all of those. But that's a good thing. We haven't had that in a long time, Auburn fans. So just keep that in mind as we continue talking about Julia Lewis and whether he decides to come to Auburn or not. That's all I'm saying. All right, that's all I'm saying. Hour number one is in the books. Again, stick around. Daryl Dapperich will join us coming up at about 3:10-ish. All right, he'll be with us on the phone lines. We'll talk all things Auburn athletics. We'll be sure to talk some recruiting things as well. And also have a fun conversation coming up later in the hour as well. So be sure that you stay tuned. Hour number two here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two here on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of the first hour, we talked about the new co-softball coaches being introduced for Auburn today. Got a chance to listen to them in their press conference over there. Got a chance to talk to them afterwards. So had a lot of good conversation on that. I boasted a little bit with the Boston Celtics winning the NBA Finals last night. Yes, they won their 18th championship, so had a little bit to say about that as well. And then we talked Auburn football recruiting as Julian Lewis had some comments about his visit this past weekend, his official visit to Auburn, and kind of talked about what that means and what that could mean if he were to come to Auburn. So all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can go and catch up with the podcast later on today. You can find it ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcasts. I do need to apologize for those of you that may have been looking for yesterday's show as a podcast. You were not going to find it because somebody forgot to post it. Yeah, somebody forgot to edit it and post it on the website and post it on all the platforms, and somebody didn't do their job. That person would be me. So I apologize for that. Got caught up afterwards, had to leave and run out of here for a meeting yesterday late afternoon. And so I do apologize for that. That will be uploaded today. I realized it just a few minutes before going on the air today. And so they will both be posted at the same time. So apologies for that. You'll be able to catch up with yesterday's show and today's show on ESPNAU.com later on today. Got a few minutes before we take an early break here in hour number two because Daryl Dapperich, Double D, is going to be with us about 3:10 or so, and then we are going to have him until the bottom of the hour. So going to get him in for about 15 minutes or so. We'll talk all things Auburn athletics, get his thoughts on everything going on in the world of sports. So really excited to have him on. One thing that I want to talk about that we just haven't had a chance to get to it yet is the College World Series. Yeah, the Men's College World Series, some scores and updates on that. There is actually some weather updates. The Kentucky-Florida game tonight actually just got pushed to tomorrow. There is some weather moving through Omaha later tonight, and so they went ahead and said, nope, not even going to deal with that, not going to mess with that. We'll just move it and start that game tomorrow. So I believe there will be three games played tomorrow. The triple header played at the College World Series. So keep that in mind. Looking forward to that. There was an update there. Just came out a little bit ago, I believe, about that. And so right now happening in Omaha in the elimination game, Florida State and North Carolina Seminoles all over the Tar Heels, 7-1. That's what's going on in that game. And it's been the SEC show, man. And there's no surprise with that, right? There's no real shock that that the SEC is doing what they're doing with college baseball, because they are the best conference in college baseball, and it's not particularly close. And I don't know what you are. I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to do if you're another conference. I really don't, because it almost comes off as unfair in this College World Series, because you look at what's been happening. I mean, you had two games yesterday. How about Texas A&M beating Kentucky, right, in the in a double elimination? So no team got eliminated there, but Kentucky, who has seemed to be untouchable as of late, fell behind early and often against Texas A&M, who put up five runs on 11 hits yesterday against the Cats and took them down 5-1. And then last night in an elimination game, you had Florida take down NC State yesterday in that game. And so SEC survives there. You've got, again, the ACC game going on right now. Kentucky and Florida were in the elimination game tonight, but that did, again, get postponed until tomorrow. And so here's what tomorrow looks like. SEC teams galore. SEC teams playing everywhere. You've got Kentucky playing Florida tomorrow now. Tennessee plays tomorrow. A&M plays tomorrow. Like, there are a lot of good things going on. And here's the thing. That Florida North Carolina game, or Florida State North Carolina game, is an elimination game that's happening right now. And North Carolina, looks like they just put up 3 runs. Now it's 7-4. So North Carolina hanging around a little bit. Looks like they put on 3 runs. Don't know how they did it, but excited for that as well. So College World Series going on. It's pretty safe to say that the SEC is probably going to win, right? SEC is just that much better than everybody else. And it's interesting and funny because I had a chance to I talked about this a little bit in the first hour, but if you had a chance to listen in that first hour, I talked with and asked the question to coaches Malvo, right? The Malvo coaches for Auburn softball, co-head coaches Chris and Kate this morning over at the football facility, about becoming an SEC head coach, right? And taking over in the SEC, because we know how great this conference is for baseball and for softball. I think it's the best conference for both sports. I really do. Baseball, undoubtedly. And softball, if there was any doubt, there's none anymore with adding Texas and Oklahoma. So with that, I mean, it's without a doubt that both of these conferences, or I guess both of these sports with the SEC, are just, they're just that good. And with adding Texas, Oklahoma for all sports combined, at what point do we just say it's SEC versus everybody else? I mean, not even just versus the Big Ten, but just versus everybody else. Like, sure, in other sports you have, what? I mean, Colorado going back to the Big 12. I'd forgotten about that, to be honest. I heard that the other day. And you've got the ACC, which is always going to be good in baseball. We'll try to compete in football, I guess, and in basketball too. I don't really know. But look, it's going to come down to the SEC and the Big Ten and just about everything. And the question then becomes, okay, the Big Ten is not worried. They're going to add more teams. They're adding 4 more this year to the SEC's 2. Who's next, right? What teams are next to join these super conferences? I don't think the SEC is done. As much as Greg Sankey wants to say they are, I don't think they are. And shoot, I think the Big Ten will add as many as they're allowed. Until somebody stops them, I think the Big Ten will continue to add. They'll get up to 30 if they want to. What are they at, 18 now? 20? I can't keep up with them. So it's interesting conversation. But in terms of baseball, softball, I still think it's the SEC pretty much versus everybody. And once you look at it that way, I mean, it's only going to get harder in the College World Series for baseball and softball moving forward, with Texas and Oklahoma joining starting in just a few weeks as of July 1. Well, let's go ahead and get to our early break, because when we come back, Double D, Daryl Dapperts joins us from Locked On Auburn. We're talking all things Auburn athletics, get his thoughts on updates on recruiting. We'll talk some basketball and whatever else comes up with Double D. He joins us coming up next here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
On the Line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Welcome back into the studio here at ESPN 106.7, and man, it is Tuesday afternoon, which means we are getting to the phone lines, and we are dapping it up with Double D, Daryl Dapperts from Locked On Auburn, joining us on the phone lines. Daryl, how are you, brother? It's great to hear from you.
Man, it's great to talk to you. It's been a long time, so I'm glad to hear your voice. I know we've had some issues, and I was out of town on business, so I'm just glad to be back in the saddle again, and love coming on your program, so this is a lot of fun.
Well, we got you for the next 14, 15 minutes or so. It won't be quite as long as it normally is today, but that's okay. We'll get you through the bottom of the hour, so looking forward to that. And so many things to catch up on, Daryl, and the big topic so far and really over the past couple of days and really the past couple of weeks for Auburn football is the momentum that is building on the recruiting trail, right? We've seen Auburn pick up some commitments here and there. Eric Winters from Enterprise over the weekend. Julian Lewis was here this weekend, had some comments about Auburn, but it just seems that things are going well. Even if Auburn's not getting a ton of commits right now, Daryl, it just seems that the mindset and really the outlook on Auburn football recruiting is going in the right direction.
It absolutely is. I think people need to consider and keep in perspective that Auburn's ahead of where they were last year as far as total number of commits, so that's important. I think you're going to see two or three pop before the end of June. You'll see two or three more commitments in the next week or two, I suspect. You know, hearing that, crystal balls, just that's kind of the buzz. And then there'll be some in July as well before Big Cat weekend. So I think Auburn, you know, may have five more commits by the time we get around to next month at this time. I think the important thing is it's about keeping momentum. And I think Auburn's getting these in-state players that are so important. And I expect Alvin Henderson to end up in this class. I know we've talked about it. I've just been hearing too much that I think he ends up wanting to jump back in. Mm-hmm. Auburn's going to have to take three running backs, I think, in 2025. But to get the state players, Jacob, is very, very important, because, you know, for a long time, there was this stigma attached to the Brian Harsin staff that they weren't visiting high school coaches, they weren't visiting high schools, they weren't at games. You've got to do that, and once you do that, you've got to sustain it. Auburn got Cam Coleman, the number one player in the state last year. They're in on this Anthony Jones kid for 2026 from St. Paul's Episcopal from Mobile, the edge rusher. Once you start getting these in-state kids, you've got to continue doing that, and it's hard to do that when the previous staff wasn't going out and visiting. Now that Auburn is, I think this class, I have the potential to be very cautious and very, very just not trying to get overexcited, pumping the brakes on what a recruiting class could end up. But I would be shocked from what I'm hearing if this 2025 class did not end up top five.
I mean, I'd hate for you to be wrong and for the internet to come after you, Daryl. I mean, you just, you know,
then
you're...
Then come on. Yeah, then come bring it.
I mean, hey, you handle yourself pretty well. For a guy that hasn't been on Twitter super long, man, you've become a popular one on the X, formerly known as Twitter, man. You got all sorts of people coming after you.
Yeah, 2018 was when I first got on. When I was doing the show with Doug Amos, the Max Roundtable, it was important to have, I think, a social media presence. And then as I started doing Locked On Auburn, there was just a lot more to talk about, it seemed like, and, you know, tweeting through stuff. And so I love the interactions. They're obviously not very all the time positive, but you just got to learn to have thick skin and move on. And I stay away from certain topics that probably 5-6 years ago I wouldn't have. But there are certain things I don't discuss or give opinions upon or retweet and that kind of thing. But, yeah, I just think this class – I am very excited. I just have this feeling that this class, with who potentially could still jump in and who Auburn already has committed. Now, that means nothing until the ink's dry on the letter. But again, you look at the momentum, you look at the kids that have committed, you look at how they're locking down their recruitments once they come visit. And I used to be one of these guys too, Jacob, that could give a crap about who's visiting. I'd go, why are people getting so excited about a visitors list? Who cares? They're not committing. Well, I think that it's important. It's important who you get on campus. It's important from a visibility and a perception standpoint. And Auburn is checking all the boxes right now in recruiting.
Well, I think it's extremely important when you start talking about Julian Lewis's taking visits, right? I mean, the biggest quarterback, the best quarterback in the class. And you know this as well as I do. I talked about it earlier before we had you on about the, I guess, the pull that he has and the amount of guys that are pretty much sitting around and waiting to see if he does commit to Auburn, because there's a handful of guys that are going to do the exact same thing as soon as he does. And he had some quotes from his official visit this past weekend, and the one that sticks out to me was when he was talking about head coach Hugh Freeze. And he says that he wants to coach me, he knows what it takes to win in the SEC, and that he's going to win. And the way that I put it, Daryl, is we're getting an inside look at what Hugh Freeze is telling guys like him, and I think that's a big reason why recruiting has taken off.
You know, that saying, iron sharpens iron, is a biblical term, but it's used in so many other aspects of life, business, athletic events. So I will say this, you know, when you have greatness around you, when greatness begots greatness, and people want to be around guys that are high level. And so I think that, yeah, if Juju Lewis commits, it's just everyone's going to want to get in the boat because they're going to want to be around greatness, and they all rub off on each other. That's why this class is so important as far as what's already been, who's already committed into this class and how they're there on campus with each other, kind of hosting each other and that kind of thing. I get it. I mean, I think there's some running backs the Chroma kid from Lee County, Georgia, who I think is an absolute beast. If Auburn gets him and Alvin Henderson in the same class, Ousmane Chroma, which is a great name, by the way.
Yes.
If you get those two guys, I think Auburn has to take three running backs. But, you know, you're talking about, you know, maybe another receiver like a Caleb Cunningham who is leaning. Here's the thing, too. It's not like these are pie in the sky. These crystal ball predictions have Auburn as leaders on all these guys. That can change. I get it. But I'd much rather be a leader going into the clubhouse and having to come from behind. And I think that you get a Caleb Cunningham, you get an Albert Henderson, you get Chroma, you get Lewis. This class will end up being top three. But more importantly, it'll be a class that puts guys in the league at the next level. And then that continues just to, you know, from a momentum standpoint. And then you pair it with the offensive linemen that Auburn's finally getting.
Sure.
You know, it's amazing. I was doing it'll break sometime in the next 24 hours. I did an article for Auburn Daily. I just a way too early look at the projected too deep. I kind of just predicted what the Auburn football depth chart will look like. And as I went through and made my picks by looking at the roster and that kind of thing, Jacob, I was shocked at the amount of seniors that is on this team. You know, we talk about the freshmen and the dynamic freshmen, but like the offensive line is all senior laden except Connor Liu, who played like a senior. So I just think that this is the right time to make a move, proof of concept on the field, get some wins under your belt, maybe improve by 2 or 3 wins over last year and go to a better bowl, and then that'll just even more cement the recruiting that's going on.
You're in your journalist era, Daryl. I'm really proud of you, man. I'm excited to read that. I know you've been dipping into that.
I don't know how you start doing this at 55 years old. All my writing and brain power went out when I was in my 30s, but somehow I'm conjuring it up.
Well, I'm excited to see that. That'll be on Auburn Daily, right?
Yeah, Auburn Daily. It'll be posted. It'll be popping here pretty soon, and then we'll be doing a Locked On episode, kind of breaking it down Friday. But yeah, I just put that out about an hour ago.
Awesome. Well, it's a good time for it because we are 74 days away from the start of Auburn football, which is it's mind-blowing at times. And so I wanted to ask you more of an open-ended question before we move on from the football topic. I mean, the fact that we are 74 days away, I mean, we have, right, the 4th of July coming up, and then you have SEC Media Days and Big Cat Weekend, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's August, and football is going to be here. What gets you excited, Daryl? What are you looking forward to? It can be Auburn related. It can be college football related. Doesn't matter. What are you excited about for the upcoming 24 college football season?
I think some of the changes that took place in the last couple of years of college football have ended up being a little bit, in my opinion, hurt the game. It took away from the pageantry of college football. And I know I'm a little bit nostalgic and probably a little bit old school, but the NIL and transfer portal thing has just kind of taken away a little bit. And then, you know, going through the Harsin era, I mean, the luster had come off of it. And I think now there's hope and excitement with not only Auburn football, with the recruiting and the scheduling and, you know, the Oklahoma and Texas coming into the league. That's going to be interesting. I'm just very excited about the 12-team playoff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a team that has two losses going into a conference championship game or two losses sitting there needing somebody to lose that may slide you into that 12th spot opens up a whole new door of excitement and watching when it used to be you're pretty much out of the game at that point or out of the loop. So I'm liking that expanded playoff and how if you have a good year, especially in the SEC, and you're like, you know, 10-2, but you still didn't get to the – you're third in the conference – you got a shot, and you can watch across the country and hope other teams, you know, get beat so you can slide in. I think that's the most exciting thing to me.
Well, it's coming up fast in college football. I mean, Auburn's 74 days away. College football itself is even sooner than that with week zero and then the extended week one that they have from basically Wednesday all the way through Monday. And so I'm excited for that on the college football side of things as we talk with Daryl Dapprich from Locked On Auburn and now with a little bit of written work at Auburn Daily, too. We're proud of him for diving into that. Want to talk to you about basketball here for the next couple of minutes before we let you get out of here. I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that we've had a chance to talk about on this show about the SEC-ACC challenge for basketball with Auburn traveling to Duke. Have we talked about that yet?
We have not.
Okay, well.
And that's a really exciting – I mean, it's just a – you know, the whole idea of getting the opportunity to play a blue blood at the mecca of college basketball. I talked about this on Locked On Auburn. You know, Jacob, there was a time where Auburn got left out of these challenges completely.
Yeah.
They would have two or three teams that didn't make the cut, per se, and Auburn, you know, every other team would be playing this thing. You look like a laughingstock sitting at home playing a regular conference game. Auburn would be playing Georgia in college basketball while everybody else was playing in the Big 12 SEC challenge back then. And then they slowly started to get involved in it, and they got Oklahoma and Virginia Tech and some other teams. Well, now it goes to show you where this program has gone to not only play the biggest draw in the ACC, but to play at their place, which is the cathedral of college basketball. It's big time. It's a big time thing. Auburn should not go in there, you know, starry-eyed or big-eyed or intimidated. It's an intimidating place to play, there's no doubt. But with 10 seniors on that roster, there's not a better time to play that game if you're Auburn.
That's a really good point. Yeah, just the experience that Auburn's going to be able to take with them on the road. And you know, I've been saying the fact that this is in, I think, what, early December, like December 3rd or 4th, right? It's just it becomes another non-conference game. This is not played in late January like the SEC Big 12 Challenge was. This is right in the heart of non-conference schedule, and it's a business trip, but you get to go and check out one of the coolest places in college basketball, play one of the premier blue bloods in college basketball, alongside the fact that Alabama gets to go and play North Carolina. I think that's a really cool fact, too.
I do. I think that it goes to show you, you know, how far both programs have gone in the state, and I think have come in the state. And I think that when you look at the premier, if it's must-see TV for this ACC-SEC challenge, I know other people will like other matchups. We'll see what Calipari does with Arkansas. But, I from a national standpoint, the North Carolina Alabama game, because of Alabama getting into the Final Four last year, North Carolina being who they are, and Auburn with, you know, winning the SEC tournament, and then Duke being who they are, being at Duke, those are going to be the two premier games. And it's going to be pretty exciting around it. And I do like the fact that it's December 4th. For anything else, that Auburn will have played in the Maui Classic and the Hoopsgiving game, which rumored to be Purdue or Ohio State at this point. It's going to be a Big Ten opponent. We'll see. That game in Atlanta that Auburn usually plays around Thanksgiving. Then you've got the Maui tournament the beginning of November that has some really big names. So Auburn will have already played some really stout big-time programs in some non-conference games through some, you know, invitationals before they play Duke on December 4th. And I like that. I like the way the schedule plays out at that point.
Yeah, Bruce has talked about how it's going to be one of, if not the hardest, non-conference schedules in college basketball. And I think that's going to make this Auburn team that much better, and it's going to give them a chance to be one of the best teams in the country. Daryl, I know you got to go. We're about to be up against our bottom of the hour break. Tell people where they can find you, what you got going on, and what's coming up.
Yeah, you can reach me Monday mornings at 7:10 on WANI with our good friend Ben Taylor. I'll be with you normally 3:15 to 3:45 on the line on Tuesdays. Wednesdays and Fridays, Zach Black will be Locked on Auburn, wherever you get your podcast, and on YouTube. And then periodically, about once a month, I put out an article on Auburn Daily. I did one at the beginning of the month on the basketball roster, did one today on football that should drop. So I'll be doing that occasionally as well, and it'll be fun to get reconnected with you every week again.
Awesome, man. Hey, appreciate your time today. We'll hopefully catch back up next week, all right?
Sounds good, buddy. Take care.
Thanks so much. That is Daryl Dapritz joining us on the phone lines. Again, he's normally with us 3:15, 3:45. Had some things needed to take care of today. We totally understand that and are grateful for his time each and every week. He'll be back with us next Tuesday. And, hey, we'll get to hang out with him at SEC Media Days in Dallas coming up in July. So excited about that as well. We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Give me a call. I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Shoot me a text, 334-784-1067. 30 more minutes coming up.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate Double D Daryl Dapritz being with us as he is every Tuesday. Again, if you didn't hear what we were saying there, he's normally with us 3:15 to 3:45 on Tuesdays, but we kind of moved it around a little bit, so he joined us a little bit earlier but hopped off a little bit earlier as well. That's just for this week, and it's been a while since we've had him on. I mean, things have been happening. I mean, look, we had lightning strike the building and wipe everything out. Daryl had his vacation and trips out of town for work. I mean, look, it's the summertime, right? Everybody's doing their thing. Everybody's busy. But we always appreciate Daryl being with us. He's always fun. No Dap rants today. That's all right. That's good. That's good. He won't have anybody coming after him because of what he said on the show today. But appreciate you all being with us. And again, if you missed that conversation, you can listen to the podcast later on today at ESPNAU.com. I thought of something earlier today, and it's a random question that I'm opening up to you, and I'm going to give you my thoughts and opinion on it, and it is purely a opinionated question, and there is no right answer, okay? There's no right answer, and you can answer this one way or the other and have any defense and explanation for it, but I think it's interesting. And I don't know what made me think of it, but it just kind of popped in my head. All right, so you can call me 334-321-1390 or shoot me a text with your answer and your explanation, 334-784-1067. Which head coach is under more pressure to win in this state this year? Is it Kalen DeBoer in year one at Alabama, or is it Hugh Freeze in year two at Auburn? All right, let me say that again. Which head coach in the state of Alabama at the two biggest programs is under the most pressure by the fans, by the media, by the school or the athletic department or whatever? Which coach is under more pressure to win this season? Hugh Freeze at Auburn in year two, or Kalen DeBoer in year one at Alabama? Because both of them have pressure to win. But I understand. You don't have to come in and yell at me and say, they're two different situations. You can't compare the two. Well, sure I can. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to compare them. I understand that one coach is going into his first year, who's taking over after a dynasty, right? Who's taking over after a legend, a Hall of Famer, the best that ever is. And the other is going into his second year with a lot of his players and things like that. I'm going to get to those in a second. I understand that. But we can all agree, and you could say this every year in this state, but these two coaches have a lot of pressure to win. Kalen DeBoer at Alabama is where we'll start. You're talking about a guy that's coming off of a run in the college football playoff and borderline almost won a national championship, right? In the West, out in Washington, a guy that is a really, really good football coach who was hired fairly quickly after Nick Saban decided he was done, almost out of the blue. The rumblings had begun, right? We thought it could be happening, but nobody was ready for that to happen. And Alabama went out and found this guy and brought him in pretty quickly. And so in year one, and I want you for a second to take off the Alabama logo, take off the brand, and just look at a Power 5, Power 4 college football program. When you bring in a coach for year one, you have to have limited expectations. We tried to do that with Hugh Freeze at Auburn, right? And I think Auburn fans did pretty well with that. I think you all did a good job. And, of course, the end of the year wasn't what we wanted, but the expectations were not just through the roof for year one under Hugh Freeze. Kalen DeBoer at Alabama deserves that same treatment in Tuscaloosa. He deserves that. He's a year one coach taking over a program that was run by the greatest of all time, and he's having to start fresh. Not completely start over, but start fresh. And there have been a lot of things that he has changed up there that he has made his own, things that are happening that probably wouldn't have happened with the previous regime and probably vice versa. But guess what? That's how it goes. He's a new coach. It's a new era. It's a new coaching staff. It's a new program at Alabama. But I believe that he deserves a little bit of grace. He deserves to have a couple of losses by the end of the year. Not saying that he should aim for that. I'm just saying if that happens, which I think it will, that's okay. The question becomes, will Alabama fans give that to him? Will they allow him to lose a few games this season? And will they be okay with it? I think it's easy to say, yeah, right now. And I think, and if there are Alabama fans listening, give me a call or shoot me a text, okay? I'd love to hear from you. I think it's easy for a lot of Alabama fans to sit here right now on June 18th and say, yeah, that's okay. We get it. It's year one. That's okay. We understand. We know that you're not Nick Saban, right? I think it's easy for them to sit here in the middle of June and say that. But what happens when they go up and lose on the road week three at Wisconsin? What happens when they come home and let Georgia beat them inside of Bryant-Denny? And they have two losses in the first month of the season? What do they do then? What happens then? Do they give Kalen DeBoer grace then? Right, so he's got a ton of pressure to win right now. It would be idiotic for them to expect him to just pick up where Saban left off. But they still expect him to win because he still has a pretty good amount of talent up there. Go look at the roster. They've still got good players. A lot of good players. And they still have more talent than most. And so he has a lot of pressure to win this season. In comparison to Hugh Freeze here in Auburn. Now, Hugh Freeze, of course, going into year two, coming off of what started as a promising year one that ultimately ended in disappointment, that did not end the way that anybody wanted it to. And you're moving in to year two with a recruiting class that ranks among some of the best in the history of Auburn football, especially at certain positions. And Auburn fans, I feel like you are expecting a solid season. And you should. We've had this conversation, and we will continue to have this conversation moving into football season. Right? Nobody is asking for Auburn to go and win the college football playoff, or let's be real, even make the college football playoff. But the expectation is to win and win some games. And like Daryl said, be two or three wins better this year than you were last year. And the thing that Hugh Freeze will not have after this year that Kalen DeBoer probably will, or at least should have, is a little bit of grace. Because if Hugh Freeze comes out of year two and not much got better from year one, yeah, he's in trouble. He's in trouble, which you can agree with that or not and think that's right or wrong, but that's just how it's going to be. I haven't been doing this long, but I've been doing it long enough to know how Auburn fans would react. Whereas Kalen DeBoer in year one, which again, that is a huge difference here. I keep that in mind. I know that is a big difference here. But Kalen DeBoer is going into his first year. But remember the conversations that we had about Hugh Freeze going into year one, about a first-year head coach trying to come in and be successful early? Except Kalen DeBoer is taking over a Cadillac. And he's taking over a Cadillac that didn't even have any bumps and scratches on it, that only got driven in the summer. It ain't hard to get in the driver's seat and drive it. Where Hugh Freeze came in and took over an old beater from the junkyard that got rammed into the wall a couple of times and is missing a driver's side mirror. So there's a difference in what is taking over, what each coach took over here, right? But where I'm going with all this is who has more pressure to win this year? Because I legitimately think there's an argument for both sides. Now, if Alabama goes 10-2, right, they get double-digit wins and make a playoff, they'll be fine. But if they go like 8-4 and they lose a handful of games this year, the pressure will ramp up with every single loss. And I think that's what happens almost every year, but it will be accelerated with Alabama. And as I pull up their schedule again, I've looked at it numerous times. They'll win their first two games, okay? Western Kentucky, USF, cool. But what happens when they go on the road and lose at Wisconsin? And then after a bye week, they let Georgia come in to Tuscaloosa and beat them. What happens if they go and lose on the road at Tennessee? What happens when they go and lose on the road at LSU? Or at Oklahoma? Or let Auburn come in and beat them in the Iron Bowl? Or what if they let somebody like Missouri come in and beat them inside of Bryant-Denny? You're telling me that the pressure wouldn't be ramped up immediately on Kalen DeBoer? There'd be people finding his house on Google Maps, and they'd be charging it with pitchforks and calling for his head because they've expected and had greatness for so long. Compared to what we're going to see this year in Auburn, what we could see this year in Auburn is with Auburn football and Hugh Freeze, right? The pressure is not just winning games, it's getting better and taking the program in the right direction. It's, okay, last year started okay, but then the wheels fell off at the end. We can't be losing to New Mexico State. All right? We can't be threatened to lose and possibly losing to Vanderbilt. That those things can't happen anymore. That's the type of pressure that Hugh Freeze has. And he has the pressure to win because the recruiting's been so good. Because the recruiting is going really well. And the proof of concept, the winning on the field, the results will lead to bigger recruiting. That's what all the pressure that Hugh Freeze has right now, with all the money, with all the recruiting, with all the buy-in, with all the NIL, with all of that. That's the pressure that Hugh Freeze has on his shoulders. Compared to the pressure that DeBoer has of, taking over the biggest college football program in the last 15 years, the most successful program in the last 15 years, and not to mention the guy that ran it for that long will be looking over your shoulder whether you like it or not. Which one would you rather have? Where would you rather be? I don't know. I think that's tough. And I think it's interesting. And I'm curious on if either team has a bad year. And by bad, I mean just below the expectations. The fans' reactions to that. Which is something we can talk about in June, but it's something we're going to see play out, possibly, come September or October. Because both of these teams, more so Alabama, and I'll make a prediction right now. I don't know how bold it is, but I'll make it and stick to it. Alabama, yeah, I'll say it. Alabama will have a loss before Auburn does this year. Alabama will lose a football game this season in 2024 before Auburn does. Now, in the first 5 weeks of the season, Alabama's schedule is harder than Auburn's. It is. They play at Wisconsin and they play Georgia through September 28th. Auburn plays Arkansas and Oklahoma, both of those at home. So while that's not a bold prediction, I think Alabama will have a loss before Auburn does. Now think about, again, I brought it up earlier. What happens if Alabama has two losses before Auburn does? What if Alabama's 3-2 and Auburn's 5-0? They would lose their minds. They would go insane. They wouldn't know what to think because it hasn't been that way in a long time. That's called pressure. That is called pressure on a brand new first-year head coach because they want to win, and they want to win all the time. Auburn fans are giving Freeze a little grace. They've allowed it to kind of boil in the back, right? They've allowed it to kind of get going and get the snowball going down the hill. But on the other side of the state, they want it right now, and they deserve it. They should. That's what they've demanded across all sports. But that's the seriousness of the start of the season. And that's what makes it exciting. That's what makes it this state so special. Because we put the pressure on a game like Auburn and Alabama A&M. We put pressure on Alabama versus Western Kentucky. Like, yeah, we talk about it. We stress about those games. And fans, you the fan, demand victory from Auburn and Alabama. And that's what makes it so special. And this season's going to be a lot of fun. Whether Auburn's good or bad, whether Alabama's good or bad, it's going to be a fun season. And as we're 74 days away, conversations like this will continue to be had. And they're only going to get bigger, they're only going to get more powerful, and they're only going to get just a little bit more heated, which is what it's all about. That's what makes it special. We'll take our final break here in the second hour of the show. Reminder that the second hour of the show each and every day is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika. To better serve you, you can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So be sure to check them out. We appreciate them bringing the second hour of the show each and every day. We'll wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Been a lot of fun today. Appreciate you being with me. It's been you and me all show long in the studio. We had Daryl Dapperidge with us earlier this hour, on the phone lines. Had him for a little bit. Not his usual length, but he was with us for a little bit. So talked Auburn football recruiting with him. Also talked a little bit of Auburn basketball. We had yet to talk. I mean, it had been so long since we'd been with him, or he'd been with us, that we got to talk a little bit about the SEC-ACC challenge for Auburn basketball. And so got to have that conversation with him. Just had a fun little conversation about Freeze and Kalen DeBoer. And so that was in this hour. And then back in the first hour, talked Auburn football recruiting, talked Julian Lewis, talked about the new softball coaches and women's tennis coach being introduced today for Auburn University. So tons of great stuff on the show today. A jam-packed 2-hour show, and appreciate you all being with me. If you missed any of it, you can go and catch up with the podcast at ESPNAU.com. Yes, I will post it today. That was my fault yesterday. That will be posted today as well. Coming up tomorrow, Uncle T-Bone will be back in here, and we're going to have some fun tomorrow. We'll stir up some good conversation about some things going on around Auburn athletics, around college athletics, and then Thursday we will have Chris Gordy, and then Friday, going to have a special guest, maybe a couple of special guests on Friday on the show. It'll be you. No Uncle T-Bone Friday, but it'll be you and me, and then we'll have a couple special guests on that show as well. So looking forward to that. A little bit of a scheduling update just to kind of keep you in the loop on some things. Not this week, okay? Not this week, but next week. Next Thursday, Friday, that's the 27th and the 28th of June, I am gone. All right, I'm out. I believe we will not have shows. I will keep you updated on that, but I believe we're not going to do shows those days. That's the Thursday and Friday, 27th and 28th. I will actually be out of town for a bachelor trip, so very excited for that. My best friend growing up in Ohio, he is getting married in October. I'm his best man, first time doing that. So if you have any advice on that, you can let me know on that, because I really don't know what I'm doing, so we're just kind of figuring that out. But we're going to be on his bachelor trip next weekend, so no shows as of right now, Thursday, Friday of next week. We're going to finish out this week. We'll start next week, and then 27th and 28th we'll be gone, and then we'll come back first week of July. I know, it's unbelievable that it's already here. We'll have a show that Monday, Tuesday, that first and second, and then there will be no shows for me Wednesday the 3rd, Thursday the 4th, and Friday the 5th. So I'll continue to remind you. Don't worry. I'll tell you. It's the summertime. It's just that time of year getting things taken care of, taking a few trips, doing that sort of thing. I'll remind you, just wanted to get it on your radar, okay? Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate it, man. You all are fantastic. We say it all the time. Nobody's working harder than we are and having more fun than we are, and I truly mean that. So, again, if you missed any of the show, you can catch up with the podcast, ESPNAU.com. I'm going to do it right now. I promise. You will have it today, later on, coming up in a few minutes. So go check that out. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Until then, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.